We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up a little bit later on this hour, we're going to talk to the president of our Atlanta Falcons, Rich McKay, who joins us usually biweekly. And we'll get a chance to ask him a variety of questions, including, what's the NFL doing trying to still play games overseas? We'll ask him that, as well as his thoughts on what's going on with the injuries with our Falcons. Stay tuned for that at about 4:40, guys. We are Dukes and Bell, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit Kia. Visit Kia info. Look at me. Kia dealers.
Man, this change of venue has got you all excited.
KiaDealers.com.
No, is it the lights that's throwing you off? We have these pretty lights. Every time we turn on the microphone, we got a little red light that lights up on our mic stand and all these little bells and whistles and doodads.
Bo came in here during the break. Real quick, we're not broadcasting from our normal position in Midtown where our studios are. We're out here where Star 94 broadcasts. Big shout out to Jeff and Jen. We're in their studios, actually.
We had a big, fun family picnic with all our radio stations in the company today, and that's why we're up here. So it's kind of let us share in the studio, but they got a lot of doodads up here.
They do, but no, I was going to say, Bo came in here and was like, you can turn the lights down in here, too. You can adjust the lighting. It's like, you can leave the lights up, bro. Leave the lights up.
Plus, my voice is deeper on this microphone here.
Yeah, man.
This thing.
Becky sees that in Gainesville for work, and she's listening online. She goes, boy, Bo sounds really deeper today. What's going on? I go, yeah, man, this is an FM radio music top 40 station. So the microphones are set up, and Carl and I, if you add it up, you and I have been in the business over 50-some-odd years together. These microphones are really kind of cool. And as a matter of fact, I really want this for when we go back to Midtown on Friday. We're going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw tomorrow, guys. So come by and see us.
Thank you for that, Mike. And we are. Well, and it's right literally. That's 15 minutes or so from here where we are. But I came in today, and then we'll get to some other college football stuff because we got to talk about what's going on in Georgia Tech. But before we do, I came in today, Mike. I know you've not got great memories here, but this took me back to my music days. And I said, oh, my God. They have a couch in the studio.
Now, for some reason, guys, in music radio, program directors, now, usually because you have a musical guest, like if it's an artiste and they have an entourage, you have a couch for their people to sit down. But let's just say if you work nights and overnights, the couch was for more than sitting in.
Where's my bell? So, yeah, I told Bo, and I started reminiscing about
those
days.
How many radio station couches have been defiled all over America?
Man. That's what's crazy. So I said, oh, they have a couch in here. And then I told some stories. But anywho, big shout out again to Jeff and Jen. They were very kind to let us use their studios today. Hey, real quick, shout out to Michael Robinson. He's a big listener of the show.
He tweets us all the time.
Follows us on the Twitter. He won the tickets to the Hawks game. And Mike, it's his birthday.
It's your birthday. Hey, man, well, that's great. Appreciate you being a loyal listener. And enjoy yourself with a brand new State Farm Arena.
All right. So, Michael, we'll see you there. And we'll on that, he says that day, I guess it's his birthday. So we'll celebrate with a Hey Man
Ale. Shut.
Hey, we're going to talk some college football. We got Rich McKay coming up. The latest on the Falcons at 5 o'clock. A bunch of guys on the practice field, but how much work did they actually get in today? Really, that's what we're trying to find out. We know Grady was out there. Calvin Ridley was out there with no pads, at least early on. Mm-hmm. So we'll get you updated during the Falcon Report coming up. Right now, let's talk some college football.
On the sidelines with the dogs.
Now we go on the sidelines each and every day with the dogs, brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man, BrightBoxElectrical.com, 770-901-2500, the elevated electrician. Don't forget, great deals on generators, guys, so call them today.
All right, we're not going to focus on the dogs as much today. There's a couple of other stories we want to get to.
Yeah, we just spoke to Coach Dooley.
Absolutely.
And did the postmortem on LSU.
But there's a couple other stories we want to get to, and one of them has to do with Gus Malzahn. But before we get to that, Mike, I have a question for you. What do you do if you're Todd Stansberry at Georgia Tech, the AD, and you finish 5-7 this year? Because that's the projection for Georgia Tech.
You go hire Lane Kiffin and put some life into your program and get people excited. Or a name along those lines. I mean, you need some energy. There is zero buzz for Georgia Tech football. There just isn't, man. I can see into Bobby Dodd. I can see the empty seats. I can see the other stadium, the other fans in the stadium. I mean, there's just no juice. You know, when you have to make an excuse for the offense you run, that's not where it's at. And they've got a fan base, Carl. There are certainly some parts in that fan base that are invested because they've contributed. You've seen the boosters stepping up. They've got the facilities.
Yes.
All the work they've done to Bobby Dodd. I mean, it's very impressive. But the product, I mean, yes, injuries, Paul Johnson's excuses about special teams, and even threw Taquan Marshall under the bus a few times. People are sick of this offense, and they want a real pro style or a real spread attack. They want to do what other teams are doing around college football. They want to be competitive in the ACC every year.
Now,
that's not too much to ask.
I don't think it is. We asked this question to Tech fans. We'll ask it to you, who may be watching this from afar and going, man, that program should be so much better than what it is. They are currently 3-4. They're projected, all right, again, if you look at the rest of the schedule, to finish 5-7. You were 5-6 last year, 3-9 in 2015. Todd, here's the answer. And I think you saw this with the Georgia Tech homecoming game. And for Tech fans, you saw it yourself. The attendance, Mike, was the smallest homecoming gate since 1994.
And 1994, for those who don't remember, if memory serves me correctly, that was a year where you had a quarterback controversy and you had Bill Lewis as your head coach. It was some real bad times for Georgia Tech. So that takes you back to that was before George O'Leary became interim and then eventually became head coach. Bad, bad memories taking you back way back then.
Smallest homecoming gate since 1994. Facts. Todd Stansberry, I think you're going to have to make a decision when this season's over. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, they want to keep Paul Johnson. I just think, Mike, you can't overlook the thing you just brought up. One, the interest level, and it's being proven by tickets at the gate, and it's also being proven by the people that we talk to every day.
You know, a couple of years ago, and I forget how long ago this was, they were trying to market to get, like, you know, the transplants who live in Atlanta to make Georgia Tech their, you know, the hometown college team. And it just didn't work because nobody wants to watch this offense. If this was a hot ticket, just like in Miami, Hurricane fans don't go there when they're not winning. When they're winning, they sell out and they go bananas. But with Georgia Tech, you've got such – here's the arguments against the fan base. Far-flung fan base. These guys go to Georgia Tech and they go do big things all over the world and nobody can come back for the games. That's one of them. You're telling me you can't find 55,000 people in Atlanta or in, you know, within an hour and a half driving distance that have a connection to Georgia Tech, or if not a family member that went there and interest in that program? Because if that's the case, you might as well just get out of the football business.
I think, guys, when you talk about Georgia Tech, it's Dukes and Bell. We're talking college football. When you start to have the interest level for your program decline, it's a problem. And no matter if you've been 500 or not, and I just gave you the records for the last few years and what they're projected to finish this year, I just think it may be time for change. And, you know, you beat Louisville. That's a bad Louisville team, Mike. That's a bad Louisville team.
No, I mean, look, we've seen it work with Georgia Tech. I mean, certainly the year they won 11 games, they went to the Orange Bowl. They beat Mississippi State that year. They gave Florida State all they could handle. They actually beat Florida State on the blocked field goal. They've had great moments, and it's not like it's all doom and gloom under Paul Johnson, but you just laid out the numbers over the last 3 or 4 years.
It's hard to ignore.
What is going to make you feel it's going to trend differently? And here's something my old partner actually – not in these studios, Carl, but way back when, said, and it rings true today, and it drove Paul Johnson nuts then, and I'm sure it still drives him nuts. You can't run a scout team that replicates who you're playing when you're running this offense.
Interesting.
Your defense cannot get better in this offense. You just can't. You don't have the horses. Now, I know it's going to take a minute and a 3-4 to get that big, you know, the nose to the big space grabber for the technique on the center, and we'll give them a minute to get that defense in order. But the old argument that Pollock used to throw out there, and I agree with him, because you see it, they never get their defensive house in order. And even in the years when they win a bunch of games, they win despite their defense.
Defense has not been what we thought it would be. The change to the 3-4 we thought would be a plus. Maybe he doesn't have the players, Mike. Either way, guys, we can do better. Georgia Tech can do better. Look, and there's no reason why they shouldn't. It is time for change.
Uh-oh.
If they are going to go 5-7.
Uh-oh, Grim Reaper's going in.
It is time for change. How can you sit around and be satisfied watching this? I don't get it.
I'm with you, bro. Look, I'm with you. And the Pollock thing, for those who weren't catching my drift, if you're practicing against an offense which is made for Paul's offense, you just don't have the ability to replicate what you're going to be seeing on Saturday for your defense to practice against. That's the argument. Some people say that's hooey. Sure looks like that's the case. I think it was Rob Tribble a couple of weeks ago, because I heard him talking about it. on their show. And I did. I think Rob did a blog. I'm not sure at 929thegame.com. But he threw out the name Lane Kiffin. Now, has Lane Kiffin paid his small market penance in Boca Raton? Would you trust a guy like that to come back and hand him the keys to a program? Because if you ask me, you win 8 or 9 games for a couple of years. You're doing pretty good if you're Lane Kiffin.
Yes. Yeah.
And, not asking you to reinvent the wheel. We're just asking you to run a nice, fun offense where you're going to score some points and people want to come watch you.
Well, say what you want about Lane, and whether it's immaturity or he talks too much on social media, everywhere he's been, offensively, his teams have been good. They just have. So, I mean, I hear that. That's an interesting name.
Or does that not fit the culture?
See, but that's the thing. Everybody always goes, we want to go get our guy. What does that mean? Get a guy that can win.
I always thought many years ago when he was banished from Texas Tech, I always thought a funny kind of idiosyncratic guy would be a perfect fit for a funny kind of idiosyncratic school like Leach. Georgia Tech. Mike Leach. I even talked to Coach Leach about this. I ran to him down in Key West. Remember I told you? And I was saying, Coach, we lobbied for you a couple of years ago for that Georgia Tech job. He goes, somebody's going to have some fun with that job someday.
Yeah. Well, listen, Leach is he doesn't bite his tongue, and that's the thing. Some people that rubs him the wrong way, he'll tell you exactly how he feels. The bottom line, guys, and I'm just laying it out to you, I don't know how the season plays out, but if you're telling me Georgia Tech finishes 5-7 this year, that's an embarrassment. 5-6 last year, 3-9 in 2015, and you're 20-23 since that Orange Bowl win against Miss State. That's not good enough.
But do you think Todd Stansbury is going to have that come to Jesus moment? Because he did send out an email about 2 weeks ago, the dreaded vote of confidence email. I know that Ken Segura reported it in the AJC, but do you think that Paul's in trouble? I mean, what is pressure at Georgia Tech? You just laid out the numbers, the lowest homecoming attendance.
Yep.
You got beat by Duke. You've had tons of turnovers, special teams gaffes against USF. There's always the late season loss like last year against UVA, which is inexplicable.
How is Duke a better football program than Georgia Tech right now?
Because Cutcliffe runs an offense that is, A, fun to play, fun to watch, and guys actually go to the NFL. And guys do go to the NFL from Georgia Tech. But Cutcliffe is not doing a bad job up there with limited expectations.
Well, then that's your answer. Because if I'm Todd Stansbury, I'm asking that question. How is Duke a better program than we are right now? So I can't answer this. This is only for the folks who are internally in the offices over there in the AD's office who will know if you ask that question, is he in trouble? But Mike, how could you not be? How could you not be? Now, from one coach to another, real quick, it's our college report, guys. We go on the sidelines with the dogs. We talk college football. It's brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBox Electrical Man, 770-901-2500. That's the number, guys, for everything you need for your man cave, home security, home monitoring, and more. By the way, it ain't great also for Cutcliffe. He is just 4 games under 500 for his career. So this year.
But they're beating Georgia Tech every year.
Yeah, well, they won 4 of the last 5.
Yeah.
But, and here's his numbers. Nothing great. 9-4, 8-5, 4-8, 7-6, off to a 5-1 start this year in the Coastal.
Georgia Tech should be owning that series. I mean, come on, it's Duke. With that said, Auburn, War Eagle, what do you do? Auburn's 1-3 in the SEC. They are pretty much, Mike, out of the SEC West race. Now, they can, cause some havoc. But now there's a lot of talk about, do you pay a guy off like Gus Malzahn and move on from him? Remember, they signed him to a new seven-year, $49 million deal last year.
Well, remember, we talked to Auburn fans. You beat Alabama and you beat Georgia. And then you lose to Georgia and you lose to UCF at Mercedes-Benz. And a lot of Auburn fans kind of shrugged. Remember, if you guys remember back when this deal was announced, we got a bunch of Auburn fans were calling and going, it was like a huff and a puff, a harumph. Nobody was like, yeah, that's great. And remember, this was the dude they won. No, we're not trying to Gus.
Come on, Brian.
We're not trying to get Gus God, because that's too cost prohibitive. Yeah, that's too. But isn't it funny, Auburn fans, don't be afraid now, because this is exactly what you wanted. Be careful what you wish for. You always said, guys, that Chizik was just he was a CEO and that Gus was the brains of the operation. And Gus, with Chizik's guys, got you to the championship game. And that's as good as it's gotten.
When you talk about this buyout for Gus Malzahn, listen. I tweeted this out last week when I put out my things I've learned. When you're talking about $30 million, I don't care who you are, any school, and I know the SEC's making a lot of money, that's a lot of money to pay out. But if you're talking about, they would never do that.
No, they would never do that.
I don't know. I don't know. When you're talking about $112 million in revenue, $61 million in profit for Auburn, it's an expensive buyout, Mike, but I'm just telling you right now, for a guy, and I know Gus well, I respect him. Mm-hmm. Everyone talked about it. He told me this in the summer. I really like my team. I think offensively we're going to be better. You know, blah, blah, blah. They're predictable. They are not this offensive juggernaut that everybody thought they would be in the SEC West.
Well, I mean, in the run game, like they haven't had like the real – I mean, they've had decent running backs, but certainly Kerryon Johnson leaving, they have not replaced that production per se. And what was it earlier this week? We heard the comment, yeah, they're going to tweak the offense, and people were asking, is Stidham your quarterback? Who? You and I were talking about this on Monday. Where did you ever think midway through the season, not even Halloween, that Auburn fans or somebody would be asking, is Stidham the guy for the job? You know, there's going to be a Heisman candidate this year.
Yeah. O-line is a problem for them. We said it. They won't have a 1,000-yard rusher again for the first time in many years. There's some issues there. I'm only saying right now, I'm not calling for Gus's job. What I will tell you is a lot of Auburn fans, War Eagle, are thinking that they might want to move on, and it's just going to cost a lot of money if they do. Let's give you a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Princess, P-R-I-N-E-E-S. Oh, check that. E-C-S-S. P-R-I-N-C-E-S-S. Princess.
You bet it is. Or Princess. Princess, guys, goes to 72881.
That is Bo's writing right there.
Yeah, that word is spelled correctly.
No, it is. No. But look at the letters. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, that's terrible penmanship. I'm in his department that's right terrible. There. I'm in his side. Anyway, guys, Princess.
Your E and your C's look very similar.
Did you know that Squidbilly has a Florida Gator Princess phone? Princess goes to 72881, and good luck. That's the award for hour number 4 in our national signing bonus contest.
What did we think of the Hawks last night and Trey Young's performance? We'll get to it next. Dukes and Bell Falcon Report coming up at 5 o'clock, guys, here on the program. We're going to talk to Rich McKay, president of our Falcons, here in about 15 minutes, so stay tuned for that. Just kind of getting you updated, and we'll have more on this in the 5 o'clock hour. Calvin Ridley was working on the jugs machine. Mike, what's that sound like?
Foom.
Yeah.
Foom.
He was doing that after practice. Boom, boom,
boom. That's rapid fire right there.
While recovering from the ankle injury. So he's getting some work in. Here's the deal. He's on the field.
Now, he does do that for about 15 minutes after every practice because that's the kind of work ethic he has coming from playing for Nick Saban. That's one of those things which, you know, sometimes we get to see when we're up at practice at Flowery Branch, the work they put in, which is on their own, Carl, after, you know, the assigned time of a practice. You know, Plan D has been talked about and the brotherhood and all that. When you guys go, what's his brotherhood? It's guys putting in the extra work. But he didn't have his helmet on. He was not able to be a full participant. It's Thursday. It's a Monday game. So, you know, if this was a Sunday game, it didn't sound like Calvin's going to play. But because it's a Monday, you know, two things. You're going to try to send misdirection to the Giants, let them think maybe he is going to go. Can then guys still do that? I mean, it's
right.
Still a thing.
Right, right.
But let's hope, man. The good news is Grady Jarrett was able to practice. And Grady Jarrett told D-Led, if I'm on the field, I'm playing.
That's good news. Matt Ryan asked about Julio Jones. He said he's had the balance of being about team first, but also wanting, you know, the ball, even when he's facing a double team. And so, you know, Matt was basically trying to, you know, not defend, but actually, you know, put into context what Julio has been. And we brought this up yesterday on the show, 707 yards, mm-hmm. 44 receptions. He's on pace to break his numbers from last year, but, you know, not in the end zone as much as we want, has no touchdowns as of yet. And also Marquand Manuel, our defensive coordinator, speaking to the media saying, Odell is Odell, meaning Odell Beckham Jr. and Eli Manning is a Super Bowl champ. So you don't disrespect that combination. And I know they're bad right now. They haven't played well. They've only got one win. But it's the NFL. Any given Sunday, Mike, and you know what? This is not. I do not want this to be the week where all of a sudden Odell Beckham goes off for $150 and 2 touchdowns.
Well, I mean, when we played the Bengals, I had so many guys even walking into Mercedes-Benz. Oh, man, Andy the Ginger, Andy Dalton. Yeah, you give Andy Dalton time, and eventually, you know, Andy Dalton still got the ball out quickly. But you give any quarterback time out there to pat the ball. Look at Jameis. Jameis nearly had 500 yards against us between his feet and his arm because it was a lot of periods there in the second half where there was not a consistent pass rush. We talked about those lulls that happened last year. So same thing goes for Eli. As much as he's been beaten down and, you know, what animals are most dangerous when they're quartered, Carl, and they're injured? Whenever you see on the Discovery Channel.
He's dangerous.
He's a ferocious something. But anyway, whatever Eli is, look, the dude, if you give him 3 seconds, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, someone's open. Evan Engram says he's looking to come back with a big bounce. Saquon Barkley in space against our linebackers, that's a mismatch. I'm not trying to sit here and give you like, oh, doom and gloom. I'm just telling you, it's going to be another high-scoring game, and we're going to need Matt Ryan in the offense to put up 350 yards of passing again.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. Hey, coming up, Falcon Report, and as we mentioned, Rich McKay. Let's talk a little bit about what we saw last night with our Atlanta Hawks as they open up the season. And Mike, there's a lot of talk, and listen, 10 years from now, all right, I might be willing to say, oh, Let's take a comparison. Let's look at what Luka Doncic did and his career, and let's look at what our guy did. You know, I'm hoping that they are durable enough to last that long.
Right.
But I'm not willing to make a final judgment after one game where you go, oh, Luka Doncic, boy, he was so impressive. He was not. His numbers were not off the charts. As a matter of fact, I think he was 5 for 16, and Trey was like 5 for 14 last night. Doncic,
ha! Buster!
Doncic had 10 points in the game that they played. It was Phoenix in Dallas last night. But, you know, it wasn't like I watched him, and I did watch. It was a later game. I wasn't going, oh, I'm so disappointed we didn't draft him. Guys, one game does not make a career, and I'm not willing to say that for Trae Young either. You know, last night, the Knicks, they got out to a big lead, and that game got ugly fairly quickly, Mike, at halftime. You're talking about, what was it, 72-49?
Yeah, by the time at the end of the game, they're down, like, consistently 25. And I saw there was some blonde guy they had on defense for the Knicks trying to D up Trae Young. I didn't know who these guys were. But anyway, watching the game, yeah, there was a D-League vibe to it at times. But as we said, I've repeated myself a few times on this. Just because Mavericks, they wanted Doncic, and this was the great debate. And, you know, the more and more, the closer we got to the draft, you start to say, okay, Doncic definitely has some, you know, he's got a lot of experience. But he's also a little bit slow. It looks like he's in slow motion running down the court at times. And I still think there's something to be said for a guy. Yes, everyone wants that Steph Curry comparison. You're playing in the Big 12. You're playing against the Kansas States. You're playing against some good basketball teams. The guy scored more points than anybody, and he had more assists than anyone. So let's let this kid develop. You know what he looked like last night?
What's that?
Looked like an 18 or a 19-year-old kid at Madison Square Garden for the first time.
That's a good point.
You know, so just let's let it evolve. And if Doncic is good and Trae Young is good, then we can all be happy. One thing last night, Torian Prince, 21 points. Now, yes, some of it in garbage time in 32 minutes. But Trae Young, he struggled from three-point. He was 1 for 5. He was 5 for 14 all over. Had 5 assists. I mean, he's going to grow into this. And that's what this season's about. I know that one thing's for certain, watching the fourth quarter, maybe we got to lower the expectations on the win total.
23.5, so 24 wins total. And I said I think they're somewhere between 30 and 35. I don't know.
I'm going to cap it at 30 right now, okay. But I didn't get to see John Collins last night.
No, Collins.
But I know that in the preseason, Trae Young and the John Collins dynamic was working.
It was. The pick and roll certainly was working. I will tell you who I was impressed with last night. Ayton. Ooh-wee.
Yeah. Does he look like he's ready for some hoop?
He looks like he's ready.
Came out of the box.
Yeah, man. He's ready to a grown man game right there. I mean, like, I'm thinking to myself, Mike, we didn't see this at Arizona. When we was playing at Arizona, I'm like, you saw a little bit of the ability and the shot making, but you were like, last night, guys, if you missed it, his season premiere was very impressive. Now, he's got a guy in Devin Booker that he plays with who's a hell of a player. But either way, I don't want to rush to judgment. And I'm going to use that phrase a lot this season. Rush to judgment on Trae Young. Slow your roll. Let's see where this goes. And oh, by the way, Doncic, who's a great three-point shooter, 0 for 5 last night.
But I will say this. DeAndre Ayton, he begins with a double-double to start his career. I'm
telling you, man.
The first of about a gazillion. But, I mean, it reminds you of with the shoulders. And he's going to get even bigger. Remember how Dwight, chocolate shoulders,
yes.
How big Dwight Howard looked. But and he's not as big as Dwight. But
his
the guys,
offensive game.
Yeah,
though.
He's got a presence. And so, you know, maybe you put that on coach at Arizona. And like we talked about it in the tournament. Why wasn't Sean running that offense through DeAndre Ayton when the game was on the line?
He's hitting mid-range jumpers last night. I thought I was watching Tim Duncan. I'm serious. He gets on the block. Smaller guys, it's done. Bigger guys, he's got moves on the block. I was just very impressed. Now,
but
again,
Booker goes for 35. I mean,
yeah.
Suns.
Money.
Look at the Suns as, you know, that's what we could be potentially when we get a guy. Now, again, Ayton, we've got to find somebody like that in next year's draft. But that's what you see, guys. You build it with Booker. You build it with us with Trae Young. You start to add more components. John Collins, a shooting guard. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to the guys we picked up this year, but
I agree.
I love the guys from Duke. I know you're making fun of me for already handicapping
them. Because the season just started. You're already like, I want that kid from Duke.
It's time. Carl, you know what time it is.
What time is it?
Tank time. Tanky tank time.
No. Not yet. Let's see what these guys have. Hey, want to hear from you, 404-741-0929. You can hit us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. But listen, it was ugly. There's no denying
that. Can I get a Hawks jersey? My name is Tanky McTankerson on the back.
No. Let's at least enjoy what these guys are going to give us for a little while.
All right.
They are on the road, guys, as their season continues. I'm talking about our Hawks. It will be Memphis on Friday night.
Yeah, they got a few games on the road, and we'll be there Wednesday, guys, broadcasting live. Can't wait to see, because we were there for the kind of behind the scenes, a hard hat tour of State Farm, but how quickly they get it done. And can't wait, because look, you got a brand new facility that's going to be like nothing else in the NBA. So that's part of the bells and whistles to take your mind off the fact you might not be winning all the games you want to this year. But you see the blueprint for a team like Phoenix, and you see hopefully at some point this blueprint that Travis Schlenk is putting together coming together. Collins and Trey, and again, we don't get Collins because he's banged up to start the season. So anybody who wants to pronounce something after a game, which in the grand scheme of 82 is pretty meaningless at Madison Square Garden. No. Slow your roll.
No, it is. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. And one other thing, too. There were some passes last night that Trey made that he didn't connect on, but you see
the creativity. Vision. The creativity.
The vision. You see it's going to get better as he gets better with his game in the NBA. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Rich McKay, guys. We'll get his thoughts on a variety of things. Matt Ryan, it's interesting. With all the numbers he's put up thus far, still kind of getting disrespected. From the standpoint of, you look around the league, and his numbers are comparable with anybody you're talking about the MVP with right now. Right. But nobody's talking about that with Matt Ryan.
Well, nobody's looking at we're following this team. We know what's going on with this offense. We'll talk about it with Rich McKay. Don't forget, follow us, guys. He's put him up. C-Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Follow with Coney Brewing, guys. Find out where our beer is. Hey, Man Ale, more and more cases coming out. You know what's getting the beer? Southside, Union City.
Southside!
Find our beer. Drink our beer.
It is Dukes and Bell. We get a chance bi-weekly to visit with the president of our Atlanta Falcons. His name is Rich McKay. He's also head of the competition committee. And, guys, he's also helped us get a Super Bowl, which will be here in February. And it's always good to get Rich on the WadeFord.com hotline. How's things going today, Rich?
Gentlemen, we're doing fine. It's always better after a win as opposed to the alternative. But we're doing fine. We got a lot on our plate. And we got a big game Monday night.
Rich, is this just the way things are going to be until we get Debo back and hopefully Grady's going to play, where we're just going to be in these high-scoring games and just hoping that we get one or two stops?
I hope not, but I think that that's not what the aim is. But I would say that, you know, I give Tampa a lot of credit. I thought Winston played very well. I knew he played well in the preseason, but I thought against us he was pretty effective. But, you know, we've got a number of players out, no question, on defense. But your hope is that as players get, you know, more comfortable with each other, they communicate more, we get some of those players back, the Shelbys and Jareds and, you know, and Debo and others back, that that we'll get better, which I think we will. But I hope we get better faster than that.
Rich, Matt is having an MVP-type season. I mean, the numbers are astounding to what he's been able to do. But, you know, I don't think he is being recognized as such. And do you think he gets the credit he deserves? You've watched him since he got here.
See, Matt Ryan is a great player. And he's as good a player as he is a leader for our franchise and our city as the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. So, you know, Matt doesn't need to do anything, as far as I'm concerned, to get credit. Now, the one thing that hurts Matt is Matt's not going to – he's not on Twitter talking about himself. He's not doing any interview promoting his numbers. He's not out there, you know, with an agency or big national ad campaigns that are promoting his brand. He just plays the game and leads the franchise and does a great job. That probably doesn't get him all the recognition, but I will say this. It is not easy to be the MVP in our league ever under any circumstance, and he has been – that. And so, you know, he's gotten some recognition, and I'm sure he might not get all the recognition he deserves for as good a player as he is, but he is, we're lucky and fortunate to have him.
It is Rich McKay with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Rich joins us almost bi-weekly, and we get a chance to brief with him before the Giants game. Matt's doing it, Rich, without a great run game right now. I mean, we're doing the bare minimum. We're keeping defenses honest. As a guy that was a GM, I mean, is it just harder and harder to draft offensive line in today's NFL?
Well, there's something going on, Mike. I mean, I think just look, you know, there's something going on beyond maybe it's offensive line, maybe it's the success people are having in the pass game, but you continue to look over the last 10 years and the move we've made from the run-pass balance of, you know, at one point it was 60-40, run to pass, and now it's flipped to 65, if not 70, a pass to run. So there's a number of reasons. There's no question that the middle of the field with the rules we put in the you know, mid to late 90s opened up a little bit of the middle of the field and the way players could be hit, and that led to, you know, passing. But, boy, this year our passing numbers, I mean, they're at an all-time high. I think we're 50, 60, maybe even 70 yards per game over last year's numbers in yards passing per game. We've thrown the most touchdowns we've ever thrown in the history of the league through week six. So there's a lot going on in the passing game. It's not just us.
Speaking of the passing game, as we talk to Rich McKay, president of our Atlanta Falcons, what do you make of the Julio Jones touchdown situation? How can he be so dominant yet, you know, the touchdowns are not there? We were talking about this yesterday on the show, Rich, and I said, you know, if you look at Julio, there's a chance he's going to set his mark more yards, more receptions this year based on what he did last year.
Well, he's been crazy productive for us this year, as he was last year. And I think that there's, you know, you look at the attention he garners as we get near that that red zone, the attention seems to go up. The attention level goes up. I think as long as we're successful in the red zone, Julio's good with it. Matt's good with it. We're all good with it. It would be nice to see Julio get his scores and get his kind of glory moment, if you will. But he's such a good player, and his numbers are so crazy good and impactful. You saw the game last week and how impactful he was in the game. That, you know, I'm not sure that anybody is going to get concerned about it unless we're not successful in the red zone, which after week one of this year, I think I talked to you guys and it looked, we all thought, oh, this is going to be an issue, but we've been pretty good in the red zone since then.
Oh, I mean, we were talking about it earlier, Rich, the numbers are insane. Other than our matchup with the end of the season in Philly and the start, we've just been unbelievable. One thing we always
about. I give Sark a lot of credit because, you know, when you take a lot of heat, you know, sometimes you can overreact, you can do things differently, but they had spent, you know, between our coordinator, our coaches, between Matt Ryan, our receivers, in training camp, there was a lot of attention given to the red zone, a lot of talk about it, a lot of design towards it, and it's been effective.
And again, and the emergence of Austin Hooper as well, certainly in the red zone. Rich, while we got you here, because we always like to ask about the business of football, because Rich is on the competition committee, for those who don't know. I would have liked this man to have been the commissioner of the league, but that's me. Rich, because of the injuries, it's hurting us. We're not the only team. Would they ever expand the roster above the 53-man roster, especially the way that, you know, we're seeing injuries across the board in this league?
Yes, I think, Mike, I think it will be something that will definitely be discussed in the next collective bargaining agreement. I think it's a legitimate question. And I think as you begin to talk about expanding the roster, then you could talk about expanding the game day roster also. But just remember, that's not going to cure the idea that you lose an elite level starter, right? Those are just hard to replace. That's why they're paid or looked at as elite level starters. But I do think that with the injuries, with the way teams are today, with as much substitution as we have going on, that there will be a legitimate discussion about expanding the rosters, both the 53, meaning the total roster, and the game day roster as it currently sits.
We've got a long way till the Super Bowl, Rich, but what's been your biggest challenge in preparing for it?
I think it's, Carl, it's a bigger event than you just can imagine. And so it's been very, very hard on our operations people, right? Our salespeople, we have a lot of things to do that we're doing on the league's behalf, but that's, you know, that's a little bit in our wheelhouse. It's what we do, and we're happy to help in that. But from the operations standpoint, it's very demanding. You know, they come to visit us, and when they come to visit us, because of the, you know, every detail that the Super Bowl and the NFL wants to achieve is at the highest level, and it might be just slightly different than the way we've done it. So they've definitely stressed our operations crew. We will definitely be shut for business the day after the Super Bowl, and a lot of people will be home sleeping for a little while because it's going to be a challenge to put the game on. I think the great thing is a lot of good learning from it for us, great experience for some of our people, I mean, to be involved in an event like this, but certainly a challenge on our, you know, for them, our work-life balance and making sure those people get some time off, because right now Atlanta United – getting ready to get into the playoffs. Falcons, we've still got a lot of home games. We've still got a lot of events to go on and put on, including the Chick-fil-A Bowl and others before SEC Championship, before we get to the Super Bowl.
Is it even bigger? Because, you know, for those who don't know, Rich, when he was running the Tampa Bay Bucks, is also instrumental in getting Raymond James done, because you had the Super Bowl down there with the Ravens and the Giants. I mean, isn't he just grown exponentially since, like, the 2000-2001?
Yes, exponentially is a good way to look at it. Mike, it's just a much bigger event. And what's going on is the corporate side of it is much bigger. And then the activities that surround it are much bigger. So Centennial Olympic Park, which is just an incredible asset for us in Atlanta, and for us at Mercedes-Benz, great because it's, you know, it's a stone's throw away. That will be activated for like 10 days prior to the event and will be, you know, a really cool space. Well, that includes a lot of logistics, the responsibility of the Congress Center, the responsibility of us in helping On Location put it on. There's going to be a lot of concerts. A lot of it will be local focused. In other words, that's really for locals to come a week before the game and really enjoy and interact with the game. Then you've got the NFL experience at the Congress Center. All of that is kind of on our campus and near us and touching us. And we may not have to run all of it, but we certainly support all of it. And so it's a challenge. I think for the city, it's a great opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to show our brand and show who we are. And the fact that we have all those hotel rooms, those 10, 12,000 hotel rooms that people are going to be able to come into town and walk to all these events is really going to serve us well. Now I just need, Mike, I need you to deliver good weather for me, and then I'll be good shit.
Yeah. I'll get right on that.
Yeah, that's a big one. Hey, real quick before we let you go, one of the things that I'm curious about, and this may not be a short answer, but I have to ask, why does the NFL continue to want games in London? I don't get it. I understand the big picture, but come on, we don't need to do this, do we, Rich?
Yeah, so interesting, Carl. You know, I kind of, with where you are, I kind of was there when we started down this path of playing live games. And then I saw the numbers, you know, the ratings over there, and they've gone up and so forth. Then we went and played the game, and, you know, but for the fact that we lost on the last play of the game, you know, it was an incredibly enjoyable experience, and we thought pretty good for our brand. And I would tell you now, you would be very – forget the ticket sales where we just sell every ticket to every game, Carl. I mean, within 10 minutes, they're just sold out. So that's great. But the other thing, when you go there, you can't believe when you go to the events, the fact that at these events for these games, there are 32 different jerseys on supporting 32 different brands, and – their television numbers continue to go up. Their streaming numbers continue to go up. And so the UK and Germany and others are really taking to American football, and I believe it's the fact we're playing live games over there. Yeah, it doesn't show up great in the U.S. because of the time change, but it really has moved the needle for us. Financially is one thing, but just in brand awareness over there. And then the numbers that the NFL is getting ready to release just on nothing to do with these games, maybe, but in China, the number of people that are streaming our games there and the growth of that in the last 3 years, really good for where the game of football is heading.
I was there in 07, man. I'll tell you what, you know what really freaked me out? Were Dutch, Scotch, German fans all singing our anthem. That was one of the cooler things when the Giants played the Dolphins that weekend, man. Rich, we always appreciate the time. I know you're busy. Thanks again.
Gentlemen, thank you. Talk to you. See you.
Rich McKay. Coming up, Falcon Report. The latest on the injuries, guys, and our running back goes under the knife today. We'll talk about it next on Dukes and Bell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.